Regular readers of the Monitor might have noticed that we missed some headlines over the Memorial Day weekend. That was by choice. Day by day, U.S. President Donald Trump offered contradictory signals about prospects for ending the war in Iran. A deal was near. Then it was bogged down. It was proceeding nicely. Then it was not to be rushed. Mr. Trump's use of threats and teases has at times won concessions, but it has also kept allies and markets on edge. His unpredictable diplomacy may yet yield a breakthrough, but it has a cost. Tehran has no trust in Washington, Iranian Foreign Minister Abbas Araghchi said. His comment amplifies a long-held norm of diplomacy. Trust matters, especially among enemies. As former U.S. Secretary of State George Shultz said at the end of a long life of building bridges among nations, even our adversaries will have to regain the trust that we can work together. It's Wednesday, May 27th. This is the Monitor Daily Podcast. Good morning. I'm Kurt Schillinger. First, our curation of news briefs from our writers around the world. Many of these are developing stories. Find the latest updates at csmonitor.com/newsbriefs or on our app. Mexico will host Iran's soccer team during World Cup training. Iran's World Cup soccer team will play matches in the United States but sleep in Mexico. With FIFA's approval, the Iranian team moved its training base to Tijuana, just across the border from San Diego, from its scheduled location in Arizona. The United States has been at war with Iran since late February and still hasn't issued visas to the Iranian soccer team. Mexican President Claudia Sheinbaum Pardo said she was approached by FIFA about the possibility of hosting the Iranian players. "We said, yes, no problem. We have no issue with that," said Dr. Sheinbaum. Mexico is facing its own tensions with the U.S., which has upped pressure on Dr. Sheinbaum to tackle drug trafficking. Uber and Lyft drivers in Massachusetts formed the first rideshare union in the U.S. Massachusetts became the first state to grant rideshare drivers unionization rights after 54% of voters backed a statewide ballot initiative in 2024. The App Drivers Union will represent some 70,000 drivers. In statements, Uber and Lyft indicated willingness to negotiate with the union. Similar efforts are underway in other states. California app drivers gained the right to unionize this year, and the Illinois legislature is mulling a similar initiative. Also, it's game, set, and matching college degree for Billie Jean King. The iconic tennis player's accomplishments include winning 39 Grand Slam championships, getting inducted into the National Women's Hall of Fame, and receiving the Presidential Medal of Freedom. She also has the bragging rights to beating veteran men's tennis player Bobby Riggs in the 1973 Battle of the Sexes match. Now she has attained the one title that eluded her, college graduate. Ms. King had dropped out of college in 1961 when she turned professional. At Monday's Cal State Los Angeles commencement ceremony, Ms. King hit tennis balls into the audience as she picked up the Bachelor of Arts degree she earned after re-enrolling in college to study history. It's never too late. Whatever age you are, whatever your abilities are, go for it if you want it, she said. Now, today's Monitor Stories. As always, you can go to csmonitor.com or our app for the latest news. Most Americans know Abraham Lincoln's story, but the historical guides at his home come to know him on a deeper level, connecting with his principles of fairness and his rise from the ordinary. Harry Brunius reports from Springfield, Illinois for the Monitor. A whirl of mixed signals is surrounding the U.S.-Iran negotiations, with new airstrikes and demands emerging despite talks of progress. What is clear, however, is that a bloc of Mideast middle powers has become more assertive in pushing the sides toward a ceasefire. Taylor Luck reports from Abu Dhabi, United Arab Emirates, Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, and Amman, Jordan for the monitor. Sanctions have been perhaps the go-to geopolitical tool for the West over the past several decades. But as heavily sanctioned countries such as Russia and Iran keep pursuing their goals, many wonder, are sanctions effective? Mark Sappenfield, Whitney Ulick, and Fred Weir report from Berlin, Mexico City, and Moscow for the Monitor. The U.S. government says Cuba is a national security threat. President Donald Trump has even mentioned a friendly takeover of the island. Here's what Cubans, in their own voices, say they want for the future. Whitney Ulick and contributor Rudy Cabrera Arcia report from Mexico City and Havana for the Monitor. Our reporter jumps into a housing search in one of the most expensive rental markets in the country. He learns that staying on budget is no easy feat. Cameron Pugh and Melanie Stetson Freeman report from Boston for the Monitor. Now, commentary from the Monitor's editorial board on freeing Cuba without revenge. For months, the Trump administration has aimed various types of punishing force at the regime in Havana to free the Cuban people. An oil blockade, criminal charges against the dominant leader Raúl Castro, and deployment of an aircraft carrier and its strike group in the Caribbean Sea, hinting at an invasion. Much of this strategy has been driven by influential Cuban Americans who have long sought retribution against the island's communist rulers. It will be difficult to completely control the impulse for revenge that some Cubans may feel during a transition, an opposition leader, José Daniel Ferrer, told Cuban news outlet 14 Medio in January. Yet another force might be strengthening among the political opposition, one that could erode the regime from within, official by official. It entails ridding oneself of thoughts of revenge and, as respected dissident and former political prisoner Oscar Elias Bisset puts it, loving one's adversaries. I have acquired the capacity to love them because in this way we do away with violence, wrath, vengeance, hatred, and substitute them with justice and forgiveness, Dr. Bisset wrote in 1999. As Dr. Bisset's ideas have become more widely accepted among Cubans, they are seen as key to laying the groundwork for democracy. We are not going to build a fraternal, humane, prosperous, and civilized Cuba on the basis of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, Mr. Ferrer said, because, as someone already said, we would all end up blind and toothless. During his more than 12 years as a political prisoner, Mr. Ferrer found out the practical side of loving one's enemies and how it dissipates the fear that is the regime's glue. His genuine affection for military officers and others who ran the prison led them to open up to him about their dislike of the government. He told them, "Our fight was also for them and their families. I told them there was no intention of settling scores or seeing them as enemies to be persecuted." When you get to know the police officer, the soldier, the civil servant, when you establish trust with them and guarantee that what they say won't be overheard, you reach one conclusion: the regime has no one who supports it. For many seeking democracy in Cuba, being kind to one's adversaries does not mean there will not be accountability for those who committed the worst atrocities. Yet, when so many Cubans have supported the regime in one way or another, the line between victims and perpetrators has become blurred. Some mix of truth-telling and forgiveness is needed. Or, as Joe Garcia, a Cuban-American and former U.S. House member from Florida, told the On Cuba news outlet, "Justice implies the future. Revenge doesn't. Revenge doesn't care what happens the next day." The stories you have heard are from today's newsletter. Find these stories and more at csmonitor.com or on our app. For more Monitor podcasts, go to csmonitor.com/podcasts. For other audio offerings from our parent organization, go to christianscience.com/audio. Today's Christian Science Spiritual Perspective contributor shares how, as we understand the all-inclusiveness of spiritual reality, we're better able to minister to others and awaken them to more of this harmonious reality, too. Find the full column at csmonitor.com/csperspective. Thanks to today's audio production team, Mackenzie Farkas and Noel Flatt.
This podcast is produced by the Christian Science Monitor in Boston, Massachusetts, USA. Copyright 2026.